Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
F&B Tupelo is bringing local banking to West Tupelo with our new branch on West Main Street across from Ballard Park. It will be opening soon with the same hometown service you know. Learn more at fnbtupelo.com. F&B Tupelo, the friendly neighborhood bank. Member FDIC.
Fans from every SEC school and beyond. The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Indeed, it is finish line of the work week, and we are live and in living color today at the Serve Pro Studio, Mississippi Sports Today, presented by Tupelo Coca-Cola and featuring two-thirds of our trio on Friday. And that would be, of course, back with us today, Brian Rigby from Serve Pro of Tupelo. Morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
You had a good night at the Taste of Tupelo last night, I hear.
Yeah, we had to host the vendors yesterday afternoon, and that was fun, a little social. Get to see some vendors and merchants in town, don't get to hang out with a lot.
Yeah.
So it was fun, and
nice.
Rushed over to the baseball field and got a little baseball in last night.
You're going
to
be a busy man.
Hey, Lee County World Series, what they call it.
Yeah.
we're talking about top teams tussling tonight. T-Town, baby. And that is Coach Ty Harden with us from the Tupelo Golden Wave. Good to have you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
We missed you last week.
Sorry.
Yeah, a lot going on. People think
break.
It's not the season, and coaches just lay around.
Right. Like I said, I almost was late today.
Yes, sir.
A lot going on, for sure.
All right. Will Kobmeyer, as you may know, is down in Hattiesburg doing the radio for the baseball series with Troy. You know what he told us yesterday, Brian? You'll appreciate this because you've been in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
He has no analyst. It's just what we call a one-man band.
Hope he has some cough drops. That's a lot of talking.
I heard about that on the radio yesterday. He's going to be whooped.
I went the last two innings, man. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to figure it out.
I just hope they're all good games.
I do, too.
Because they get out of hand.
Yeah.
Boy, you start talking to yourself.
The pitcher's duel would be his best friend.
Yes.
Right? All right, join the conversation today on the Elite Realty text line at 331-2508. He wants outs, not base runners.
Well, if it's a good game, let the game explain itself.
Yeah.
You know,
no, he'll be. Yeah.
But
if anybody can do it, Chad Cheddarman can do it.
Dylan and I Tuesday night had a very lopsided game, and so you have to go to just conversations, because the only thing you could really actually talk about in the game is how bad one team is, and you don't want to do that.
Well, in that case, you can also talk about Tupelo's best player right now is one of the best. I think he's the best player in the state, one of the best in the nation, and Brody Wilson.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
He's
raking.
Good.
He's top in the nation right now with his stats.
Yeah.
Brian?
He's hitting about .545.
Dominating on the mound?
8 home runs. I'll tell you a crazy stat. On the mound, I'm just throwing some numbers out there. This close. He has pitched in the mid to upper 20 innings this year on the mound. And he has only walked 4 batters. He's had probably in the low 60s at bats this year. Only struck out 4 times.
And I think another stat that me and Scott Gamm were talking about was against Van Cleve. Van Cleve had some elite pitcher throwing close to 90s or whatever. You know, Brody's got close to 11 home runs. Is that what it is?
Eight.
And he's either got 25 doubles or home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what makes him so special is he went from hitting a bomb all at 90, and then the next game he played on Tuesday, that pitcher was throwing 55.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hitters understand, you go from one thing to another like that, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he is
–
he's not letting it faze him.
Mm-mm.
That's what's impressive.
All right, we're going to hit the text line here. I'm sure we got lots on your mind today, so say hello. Text line service of Elite Realty at 331-2508. We're going to be talking about great players like Brody. One of the all-time greats out of Tupelo will be a special guest on our program Tuesday in studio, Chris Stratton.
Nice.
Is it this weekend that Chris gets in the ring of Ron Polk, Ring of Honor?
I'm not sure.
I think it is.
Weekend for it.
Yep. I believe it is, yeah. Ring of Honor, Mississippi State, that's sort of the highest honor a baseball player can get. Buck Showalter will be another of those inductees, as well as Alex Gramas. All right, so that's a big one. And I do believe it's in this weekend. If I'm correct on that, someone hit me up. 331-2508. Now, let's go, since we're on the subject of baseball, and go over a big win last night. I mean, this was impressive from all facets last night. The 5-0 Ole Miss shutout. Hunter, Bassetta, and Furness. Sounds like a law firm if you've been injured. But it was Hunter, Elliott, Tristan Bassetta, and then Will Furness all contributing. And really, it was just an all-around good performance to start this series, my friend.
Yeah, and starting on the mound with Hunter Elliott last night, he improved, I believe, to 3-0 on the year.
He did.
And it had his best outing, his longest outing. On the year, he went 6 1/3 innings and allowing no runs, 4 hits with 6 strikeouts and only 2 walks. And we've seen Hunter struggle early in the game, and that's not I would say that's not unusual for Hunter to kind of struggle even when he's been at his best. And when he settles in, he is as good as they get at the college level. But he did, you know, pitch his best game of the year last night, faced 24 batters, and was – I think that starts – kind of sets the tone for your Friday night or opening weekend, that starting pitcher, and he set the tone for – the Rebels last night.
Sure did. 6:30 tonight for game 2. Bassetta now has 13 home runs on the season.
And I think both of the home runs, I didn't get to see the second one, but I think both of those were oppos. And that's just a good telltale sign of really, really good hitters who've got the pop, the opposite field, that, you know, not just trying to pull everything out of the park.
Right.
Yeah. All right, tomorrow's finale of the series will be set for 1:30. We'll have the pregame for you at 1 right here on Super Talk. Of course, you can listen tonight as well. Also last night, number 8, Oklahoma goes down to LSU, who fell out of the rankings. And now here they are, 7-1 winners last night to start that series.
It's kind of a back-against-the-wall type of deal, though, too.
Kind of. Yeah, they've looked, you know, pretty rough. Then there's Mississippi State and Vandy. And tonight, I believe the first pitch at 7, we'll have a game for you on 95.9. What an opportunity here for the number 6 Bulldogs. But I tell you, Vandy always, you know, it's a miracle they're not ranked. But good series for them to start their SEC slate.
Yeah, I think they've got 9 losses on the year, and it's kind of unusual. A lot of some losses that you wouldn't typically see Vandy having this early in the year, but, you know, it's the SEC. And we're talking about baseball in the SEC. Every weekend is tough, as they took 2 of 3 from LSU last weekend at home, and we'll see how they respond. And coming into a very hostile crowd and at the Dude this weekend. And, you know, Mississippi State, if you look at their numbers, they pitched it really, really well this year. Average is way above 300. And I think they're averaging scoring a little over 10 runs a game. Vandy, however, is scoring over just a shy over 8 runs a game. So you wouldn't think it'd be a high-scoring game, but these offenses can, when they get rolling, they can be hard to stop. And, you know, I think for Mississippi State, being at home this weekend, would love to get a series win. Getting a sweep in SEC is hard when you play an opponent like Vanderbilt.
Absolutely, yeah. Some good series across the board, as you'd expect in the Southeastern Conference. Number 2, Texas, at number 5, Auburn.
Juicy.
Telling you. It's going to be what a test for Auburn. And we'll find out a lot about Texas. And Missouri at number 22, Tennessee. Arkansas at South Carolina. number 7, Georgia, at number 23, A&M, and Florida, the 18th-ranked team in Tuscaloosa. As we mentioned, number 12, Golden Eagles, will be in action. They'll start a three-game series with Troy tonight. Check out Troy's athletic department website. There's probably a link on there to listen live. They did lose last night in a big way in basketball to the Children of the Corn.
Yes.
This Nebraska team.
I was surprised. I picked Nebraska, but I thought that was one of my, hey, should this be an upset?
Yeah, you did okay.
I did not do good in this bracket. I did not say I did okay.
Well, you're currently in fourth place. Tied for fourth.
How?
With Mark Gewin, our friend from Lee County
Farm. My other bracket's a lot better.
Franco, myself, and Drew are in a three-way tie for tops. I had some good ones, and then I picked stupid upsets that I picked I picked like Penn to beat Illinois. Another bad one. But also, I picked Georgia to lose.
I picked Georgia to lose.
And they were the lone SEC team to drop their opening game. So I'm in 4 millionth, Coach, 17,528th place, baby.
There you go.
Here's the shocking. This has to be, and I know there are over a million brackets in the ESPN one that we do. Perfect brackets remain after yesterday, 10,754. What do you bet these are all just random, let the computer pick for me?
Could be.
I bet you there's more of those than not. Nobody.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and if you sit around long enough
boy,
in a basement and you have nothing else to do.
I'm good with that.
I mean, you could fill out, 100 to 200 brackets and have this combination.
In a basement.
It's like the scratch-offs. You do enough of them,
the odds increase if you do enough of them.
In so many years,
Yes. Oh, the scratch-off. Talking about the lottery tickets. All right, let's see. Last night and yesterday afternoon, winners from the SEC. As we said, they went 4-1. Vandy knocks off 12 seed McNeese. Ride 'em Cowboys, 78-68. A&M, Mary, quite contrary. St. Mary's, A&M gets them, and they were the lower seed. There were six lower seeds, I believe, yesterday won.
Right.
Okay. So A&M over St. Mary's, 63-50. Wasn't even close. Neither was Arkansas, somewhere over the rainbow, guys. Get it?
That was the third high-scoring game by Calipari team in the tournament.
Good fun fact, Coach. 97-78. Someone made a comment on this on our text line. Thank you very much. At 331-2508. Hogman has checked in. Hogman says it looks bad when three try to guard Acuff. Just put one man on him and take your medicine. I thought Rabe would start today, but I see they used him last night. Taylor?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he pitched – I think he got 8 outs for the Rebels last night. I think five of those were punch outs.
Yeah, they kept them off the bases.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I haven't heard who's starting for the Rebels tonight. Obviously, they had an injury. And so we'll see. That should be announced probably pretty soon. I think that decision has been made, maybe just not announced.
Yeah, all right. Better. The game's in a few hours. All right, also, yesterday, Texas, they were the lower seed, and I had this one.
I did not.
That was a solid sprinkle over the St. Louis Billikens. Billikens were boat raced, 102-77. They boat raced Georgia. Can you believe? We talked yesterday.
That was a home game for St. Louis.
It was a home game, and I mean to tell you, they demolished the 8 seed Georgia. And I'm like, Texas got a win over BYU, 79-71, the lower seed. Okay.
Is that really an upset?
No. Texas?
No.
I'm not that.
The St. Louis?
Yeah.
I don't think that is.
Oh, no, not a 9-8.
But Texas beating BYU, I think, is an upset.
Yes, me too. They had the kid that's like one of the top players in the country. Right. He had 35.
There's a lot of folks that had them going deep.
Yep. Yep. Not me. I had Texas in this game. 79-71. Can you smell the Cinderellas, my friends? How about High Point knocking off Cheddar's Badgers? If only he were here today.
It's probably good.
He had his shirt on yesterday. He was all...
He had the red with the dub.
He did. Mm. He looked like he was about to get in the layup line. He was ready. And there they are. High Point topples Wisconsin 83-82.
Yeah, High Point is
good.
They're good. And I think they were in the baseball tournament last year, maybe.
I believe they were, because we were struggling with their mascot.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a very, very prestigious school. One of the, as far as I've ever heard, the nicest university as far as amenities that there is. I know
high
that
dollar.
Their president is Nito Cobain, founder of Harvester Bread Company. Did a little book on Nito Cobain, really, really cool leader. But he has kind of revolutionized High Point University, and it is something to see.
They're moving on. I think they've got SEC team next.
There wasn't so many teams in this, I can tell
you. I know. I believe they advanced to play one of the SEC teams.
They will play Arkansas.
Arkansas, yep.
Yep. Nope. Could be the end of the road for High Point. I thought this was the game that I stayed on the whole afternoon.
Me too.
North Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
That comeback?
What a game. And I just felt they were ahead by 19, but you could just feel VCU getting stops. And I tell you, that little point guard, number one, is a quick cat. Gracious, he was blowing by.
From every angle.
These five stars blowing right by him. And they managed to come back from 19. That's one of the biggest comebacks, I believe, of all time. And it's the biggest, I believe, in the first round, because you don't normally see.
Well, they hit their free throws, and North Carolina didn't.
Yeah. North Carolina didn't make a shot in the overtime.
Nobody wanted to make a shot at one point in the overtime. It was like a minute left or somebody made a shot.
And VCU takes them down 82-78 as part of the sixth. It was a huge upset. I don't know who would possibly have picked that, but okay. Coach, here's something you and Brian and I will discuss on the program, particularly about your football program. When these Cinderellas, the High Points of the world, the VCUs, right? Even the Troys, even though they get that blue blood program, and what else happens? It's the game of their life.
Right.
They're going to tell their kids, I played against Kentucky and beat them. And that's what will happen today.
But historically, VCU has done this in the past.
They've had, yeah.
You know?
But I'm just saying, those teams, they get up for the big boys. Just like when somebody plays Tupelo in football now.
And it's easier, I think, more times than not, these teams in these settings, these venues, and, you know, with these crowds – playing these blue bloods, if you will, more times than not, they play better. They have more focus, more intensity. They raise the level.
Well, they raise the level, and to me, the other team drops their level.
That's what happened to Duke. Duke was down by 13 points to Siena.
And he said it. He said, we got out-coached. We got out-played. They were more prepared than we – I mean, he took full ownership. He said, we got out-coached, effort-wise and everything.
And Siena, I think, was – playing the same five guys the entire game.
Yeah. All of them played 40 minutes. They just got tired.
That's incredible. Yeah, Duke outlasted them. But, yeah, you get some scares with these top seeds. We'll see when we resume today at 11:15. And we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings hanging out for the number 10, Santa Clara. Upset of Kentucky. We called it yesterday. I just feel like this one's one of those.
A lot of people are calling it.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Hit me, Owen. Tennessee.
What you got on that one?
Miami, Ohio Redhawks, who got in the tournament via the play-in game the other night. Wow. This is a scary bunch. These guys had won 32 games.
Undefeated for a reason.
And everybody's, including our friend Franco, well, they didn't play anybody.
Well,
played their schedule.
According to High Points, Coach,
yeah,
they're not allowed to play anybody because nobody wants to play them.
I mean, that's exactly what he said. He said nobody wants to play us. Nobody wants to play Miami of Ohio. I mean,
play Belmont. Nobody wants to play these guys.
Yeah, what's that do to your RPI?
Right.
Your pride.
Now, if Miami gets hot on the perimeter, it's not going to be it's them.
And they were the other night. Good gracious. They hit 16 threes in that game. All right, let's go. Let's go. Miami, Ohio, Redhawks. It's going to be upset Friday.
Well, I mean, you've already had.
I talked you into it.
Yeah,
four SEC team wins. You don't really feel like you're going to
run the table today.
Yeah.
I don't think we will. Florida probably going to take out Prairie View.
Probably. I sprinkle Florida for me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. He never calls a sprinkle, Coach. Unless, good gracious. And so Alabama take on the 13th seed. Alabama the 4 against Hofstra. That game is a 12:40. The second game on the slate. We talked about Tennessee and Miami, Ohio. They'll play at 4:25, and I believe these are late night matchups here. The Florida, Prairie View, Missouri, Miami later on this evening. Of course, Ole Miss will get underway today at 2:30, facing off against number 12, Gonzaga. I saw a stat about the Gonzaga men, a little Friday fun fact. They've got 17 tournaments in a row where they've won at least one game. Is that what I saw?
It's the most.
Most. That's impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah. And here's the Rebels in their fifth. Now, they haven't won a game in all five, right? But if they advance, they'll take on Minnesota or Green Bay. So Minnesota looks like they're the 4 seed. So we may see that matchup. Mississippi and Minnesota. Dave, our buddy up there, will get a kick out of that. Other games concerning – you guys see any upsets? Go over these for me.
Number 1, Texas versus 16, Missouri State?
Probably not.
Probably not. You can sprinkle Texas.
I think you see a lot more in the men's game than you do in the women's when it comes to the high seed, low seeds.
You're right.
Yeah, it's just – I think it's just a
– Also home courts, you know. They're playing in their own venue most of the time.
I just feel like that with the men, I don't know why. I just feel like that there's teams that you have the potential just to have an off night. The women seem to be more consistent.
Yeah. And the gap between the really elite women players, and they're all on the same 4 teams, and the rest of the talent pool, I'm sorry, the gap's not that big in the men's game.
Well, I think I said early on there's – not hardly any neutral sites because, you know, they're all on these campuses.
I don't know how the stats in front of me to back this up. I think that women are way more consistent at shooting free throws. And these tight games, if there is a tight game, the women are they're just better.
Clutch,
consistent, free throw shooters. And you have these men's teams that just go ice cold at the line.
And elsewhere.
Yeah.
When it turns into – here's what I love about the Ingemars of the world and the high school game, Coach, is the Belmonts and so forth. That's that old school fundamental basketball that coaches, especially Owens, love, where you're running your offense. You play tenacious D. And sort of – in some of these, especially higher-level college, it's just a track meet. It's just – roll it out there and let them go.
A lot of them keep it simple. They don't turn the ball over. They make free throws, and they make their layups.
And they're more coachable.
Yes.
Typically.
Yes. Now, I've got to play this back to podcast for my wife. She'll be thrilled that we gave women the props. They're just better. I'm just saying. All right. Today, LSU, the 2 seed, will take on 15 seed Jacksonville at 5. And then 10 seed Tennessee versus NC State. Probably see NC State taking them out. Just saying. Oklahoma's good. They'll take on Idaho, the Vandals. That's a 4-13 matchup, Oklahoma. One of those teams, man. They the size and everything else. SEC wins the women's championship. Anybody?
Tennessee?
No, you're SEC.
SEC.
I'm saying SEC probably won't. I don't think we'll win the men's. It's up to Florida and Arkansas, maybe. But in women's, I think we got two of the three best teams.
South Carolina, Texas.
Texas. Connecticut is not going to be an easy out. But we'll get to them in a minute because I have an amazing fun fact.
If you look at the South Carolina versus Southern game on Saturday, I mean, I haven't seen a line, if they even have a line in women's game. But, I mean, you would think that South Carolina is favored by 40.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Georgia will play Virginia. Virginia had to play in last night. Georgia's a 7 seed. So what is that, 7-11? And the 5 seed Kentucky against Little Jimmy.
Little Jane?
Yes. Sorry, that's the women's
Little
team.
Little Jane.
It's Little Jane.
Jimmy Ann.
Jimmy Ann.
Come here, Jimmy Ann.
It's probably going to be Jimmy Ann.
Yeah. James Madison, we poke fun at them, but they're not listening. So there's another one I like. I like Little Jimmy Ann to knock off the Wildcats. Just saying. Not all these SEC teams are going to come out of this first round. Alabama, the 6 seed, will take on the 11 seed Rhode Island team. All right. This is amazing. Before we head to break, well, as a matter of fact, let's head to break. And on the other side, we're going to tell you about an amazing winning streak that was snapped just last night. Unbelievable. And we're going to go over some more of the baseball news of the morning. We also have a record tied last night in the NBA by guess who? Our favorite player, Brian. NBA favorite player. You know.
Yeah.
You know. All right, we'll get to that benchmark moment. What a moment for us all when we return on Mississippi Sports Today. Live from the ServPro Studio.
Ford is up. Ford with a drive. Going to the wall. And gone. It's a grand slam for Ford. In baseball, a grand slam is a big hit. But when it comes to your vehicle, a grand slam is the last thing you need. If your vehicle gets a big hit, don't get moody. Call Moody's. Moody's Collision, 1204 South Gloucester in Tupelo, 350-3304. Bring your vehicle home good as new with Moody's Collision.
Your attention, please. The distinguished gentleman from Tupelo, Mississippi, Mr. Janitor, now has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, while I have the floor, I shall clean the floor. Whether the floor be of hardwood or tile, carpet or rug, Mr. Janitor vows to clean that floor better than anyone else. Why, Mr. Janitor even cleans grout. Mr. Janitor has been voted on as the area's best. Give Mr. Janitor the floor, and it'll be like new again.
Order, order, order a floor cleaning from Mr. Janitor today at 844-7713. Mr. Janitor, the floor is yours.
It's Tom Massengill from ASI. Hey, man, what are you looking at? Is that a spy movie?
No, Craig. It's the latest technology in security cameras.
Is that at night?
Sure is. 2 a.m. Video so clear it doesn't matter what time of day, you can actually see what's going on in great detail.
Hey, Tom, that guy's breaking in a storage facility.
Craig, not for long. This technology allows business owners to sound alarms and run off scoundrels like this. It's perfect for any home or business with valuable items or inventory outside. Call us today, 534-4987. ASI. Always connected, always protected.
Stone's Jewelry is my jeweler.
Stone's had a great reputation while we came here.
Miss Teresa always gives me the best deals.
I love getting all my diamonds at Stone's Jewelry. The clarity is awesome.
Stone's Jewelry had a great selection of unique engagement rings.
They're more than just a jewelry store.
My wife always requests that I come back.
She knew what she wanted. She wanted Stone's.
Love Stone's Jewelry.
Like my daddy used to say, when you think of jewelry, think of Stone's.
What are you people?
Who are you?
Featuring a different lineup of hosts every day. And your comments on the Elite Realty text line. This is the People's Sports Talk Show. Now, back to more of Mississippi Sports Today on Super Talk 101.9.
Hey, we're back. Thank you for joining on the Friday edition. We're live from the Surf Pro Studio. One, Brian Rigby in his corner, and the other, our good friend, head coach Ty Hardenum. The Tupelo Golden Wave, Will Kohlmeyer, not available today. He's in Hattiesburg doing what he does, professional sports broadcaster. So he'll be calling the Troy and the Southern Miss series, and I was a little surprised Southern Miss dropped that series up in Jonesboro this past weekend, guys.
Yeah, you know, the Sun Belt's a tough conference in baseball. And Arkansas State is one of those teams that they're really well coached. And it's baseball. And so you're not going to win them all, or you're going to lose some that you feel like you should have won. But it's just not your day at the ballpark. But obviously, I don't think Southern Miss Golden Eagles have much to worry about. That's a well-coached baseball team as well under Coach Oz, and a lot of talent in the ball club.
They really are. And
I know they're really, really good at home. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, those games will be in Hattiesburg. Check your listings there. It'd be worth a watch. Roses, I wrote you guys a little poem today, if you don't mind. Roses are red. Violets are blue. They won 91, but not 92. I'm referring, of course,
to NYU.
NYU. Record 91-game winning streak over after a loss to Scranton last night.
Scranton was undefeated also.
Scranton's bad to the bone. The Royals. 60-52. That was the Final Four Division III tournament last night. The Violets, what a mascot. 29-1. That's the second longest winning streak in NCAA history. Trailing only the amazing 111 games that UConn won back a few years ago.
UConn's done it twice.
Well, they got another one going now. We're going to get to that in a minute. Violets' last loss, March 11th, 2023. 3 years ago. We were kids. Well, you guys were. They were beaten by Transylvania, of course. In the Elite Eight. Caroline Pepper.
What a name. All-name team right there.
It sure is. Caroline Pepper, a senior, was the only player on the team who had lost a game in her career until last night. They didn't know what it was like. So Division III, obviously no scholarships. Are there, is it?
For the love of the game.
Right, but I'm not talking about the level of play, because I'm reading right here, it has to be pretty decent. Scranton beat Pitt in an exhibition game earlier this year. So that's pretty high-level basketball.
Do you think Caroline Pepper, after the game, said, I told y'all, this sucks. I told y'all, it's awful to lose.
We lost that game back in 23. When I was just a freshman, and now here you are. You're bringing me down. That's unbelievable. Now, speaking of streaking, another poem. March 26, as of now, this month, UConn's women's team is on a 50-game winning streak. They last lost February 6, 2025, to Tennessee. Since then, 50 straight wins. That includes this regular season, 31-0, multiple wins in Big East tournament, whatnot. Then now they enter the 2026 NCAA tournament, number one overall seed. It surprised me, guys. This is not the longest among the longest even. It's the fifth longest ever in Division I. So there have been a lot of streaks long, you know. They had the 111 from 2014 to 2017, and that actually ended in the Final Four.
They also had like a 90-something one, too.
Yes. What a job. That guy's the GOAT of women's basketball coaches. I mean, I'm sorry.
And you know that that has to be a topic of conversation that they, I mean, these ladies know this. And if you have these streaks, whatever team you're on, you can't ignore it. And in the regular season, it's probably not a lot that, you know, a lot of pressure. But you don't want to lose that streak. But now when you get to playoff basketball, talking about one and done. And you would think that that pressure mounts just a little bit.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking over the women's matchups for today. And there's, you know, some really good teams. But I don't see, you know, if there's a team that can knock them off, maybe Duke, someone like that. But I doubt. It's going to be your Texas or South Carolina. I don't think LSU is going to be a threat to those teams. But, you know, just thought it's going to be a very intriguing tournament, to say the least. I was just want to look. Connecticut doesn't play until tomorrow, I believe, as they get underway today. But I want to – just some of the games, they were averaging over 35-point margins of victories in their regular season. They beat one team 102-35, Coach. And this is with him going easy. This is with the end of the bench, probably the manager in the game. They've scored over 90 dozens of times. Almost over every game they've scored in the 80s. Just incredible run for UConn. And this and they turn out All-Americans every year. You know, this Azzy Fudd. There's another. No relation to Elmer. Fun fact. She's good. Love it. Saturday, tomorrow, big night out at Etiwumba. I saw that. We'll get to that in a minute. In the obituary section, Coach. You okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
Okay. Saturday, we mentioned this, Etiwumba Crossroads Ranch yesterday. We talked about it. This is Brian Dozier, one of his great efforts that he's very involved in, to say the least, in Etiwumba County. And it's a great facility that helps high-functioning disabled adults get a lot done. They have all sorts of purpose out there for this residential community. And tomorrow night is the Golden Halo event, celebrating this and inviting you to come to their campus and see the beautiful work being done. You can go to their website, xroadsranch.org, find out more about it, and you can even buy tickets. All right, speaking of tickets, yesterday Robbie was our ticket winner. Today we have tickets to baseball tonight in Oxford and Starkville. Give us your team mascot to enter for whichever game you prefer. For State, type Dogs. For Ole Miss, type Rebs.
They need to type D-A-W-G-S for Dogs.
Okay, Coach. That's a good rule. Make it correct. Yeah. And then we're going to draw it, and I'll let you know at the end of the show. These tickets are delivered to your phone. You don't have to come pick them up or anything, which is great. Kevin does a great job of getting them to you. So we'll Dogs or Rebs, the number 3312508. My wife, maybe, I wasn't going to mention it, but you did. Poor Chuck Norris. Is this true? The news breaking at this hour?
Looks like it, social media-wise.
Chuck Norris passing away. Mm. What a legend.
You thought he'd live to be infinity.
Yeah. Rhonda texted me that at 9:16 this morning. We get word. And I said, he'll be back. And I was kidding. I mean, come on.
He is Chuck Norris.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He may just be taking care of the Grim Reaper. Well, okay. All right. Well, that's sad news. And one of greats all time, man. He's one of those cats, like, legendary in his sport, which that's what he did. Not like Schwarzenegger. When I was a kid, Mom had a bookstore, and we'd get these magazines, these bodybuilder magazines, and I would look at them, and it'd be Schwarzenegger, and I was like, how does a cat get that big?
But I would think.
And he'd win Mr. Universe every year, and then he went on to everything else.
I think he's the most mythical, though, don't you think?
Oh, man, he's
absolutely
the
most mythical.
He put out a movie called Pumping Iron. And I was into bodybuilders. I didn't actually build my body, but I thought it was intriguing at any rate.
Have you ever had an encounter with somebody like a celebrity
mm-hmm.
that you weren't sure that was them?
Oh.
He's the guy from, I was in a hotel in Alabama having breakfast, and there was a guy, I was like, that's Chuck Norris. I looked at him, I was like, or is it?
Oh, yeah, he's got kind of that. A lot of dudes look like
that. And he looked at me, I looked at him, and like, I want to say, Chuck? But I was afraid because
he would have roundhouse kicked you.
I wasn't certain, but I was fairly certain.
Or you could have called him Charles. You know?
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been the first to.
Whoever that was. It.
Yes, probably wasn't him.
Man, it looked.
I mean, a lot of guys wanted to look like Chuck Norris, right? Yeah. John Delusic. Can't walk the streets in North Mississippi. Trust me, I know. All right, that's that. How about a Valspar update, brothers?
We've got Doug Gim is the leader right now.
Gim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He is minus six today, minus nine for the tournament through 12. A name we haven't seen in a while, Mr. Snedeker.
I wondered what
fourth
happened.
Fourth place, minus six.
I thought he was on the senior tour. He'd been around a minute. Yeah.
He's a guy that ServPro sponsors, and
I know.
I think ever since we sponsored him, he started playing terrible.
Yeah, yeah. A disaster.
Jordan Spieth tied for fifth, minus five.
There's another one. He hadn't been near the leaderboard in a while. Just checking on Brother Ramey because he started out great yesterday, but I think he ended up with a round of 74. And Davis Riley also struggled, saw his score at 5 over at one point yesterday. But
Ramey's even for the tournament. Okay. He goes up at 12:53 today.
Okay. All right. He fought back yesterday. All right. Good to know. Good to know. The Valspar be going on there. A beautiful Copperhead course. My goodness, Innisbrook Resort, Palm Harbor. All right, let's go back to the text line. I know we got some thoughts there. We got some entries. Rebels, yes, thank you. He didn't die. He just went to another dimension to beat up bad guys, right? Rebs, thank you. Yeah, good stuff. I went 111 holes without making a par. Someone said
we've all been there.
That's a streak. Yeah, thanks, Sanlo. Get those entries in. We need some dogs. Maybe Mississippi State fans gave up on us a long time ago. You want to go see State and Vandy tonight? Tickets available 331-2508. Dogs with a W. Okay. All right, let's go now to this date in history. It was March 20th, and the year was
1934. American all-around female super athlete Babe Didrikson.
Yes, Zaharis.
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 Yeah.
Pitches a hitless inning for the Philadelphia A's in their exhibition preseason baseball against the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Didn't she marry a NFL guy? I think she did.
Never heard of her.
I think she married Alex Karras. I could be wrong. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
1973, the Pittsburgh Pirates right fielder Roberto Clemente is elected to baseball's Hall of Fame 11 weeks after his death in a plane crash.
Yeah, tragic. Yep. Yeah, in his prime, too, man. One of the greats, right?
1989, Major League Baseball announces Reds manager Pete Rose is under investigation.
Indeed. Talk about him more in a minute.
And in 2020, after 20 years with the New England Patriots, six-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Tom Brady officially agrees to move to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a two-year, $50 million guaranteed deal.
Yeah, pretty well.
Did pretty good.
Won the Super Bowl and then lost in the playoffs the first round next year.
To me, it changed the landscape of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers forever.
Sure did.
And the Patriots.
Yeah.
And Belichick.
You could say.
Brought Gronk with you, too.
I'm sorry. The Patriots making it back to the Super Bowl, you know, I didn't expect that. I don't think anybody did, right?
Changed the trajectory of Bill Belichick's career.
Exactly. Last night, it was reported. I didn't see it. We heard that LeBron James played in his 1,116th, something like that, 1,100 something games, which is, I was a little surprised that now ties the all-time record for games participated in by an NBA player, held by Robert Parrish. If you'll remember, though, Robert Parrish played probably 20, maybe not. He played a lot. He played a long time, the Chief. Matter of fact, by the time he was, you know, retirement age, he looked like their granddad out there. But he was still good. So, I guess on Saturday, LeBron will break the record of all time. So, it led me to this question. What are the all-time records for participation in other sports? Friday Fun Facts. You guys want to take a guess on? I'll give you an easy one. Baseball. MLB games participated in.
Cal Ripken,
yeah.
You'd be wrong. We mentioned him just a moment ago.
Pete Rose.
There we go. Now, Cal Ripken played in the most consecutive.
That's what it was.
Pete Rose played in 3,562 Major League Baseball games.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Is it a kicker for NFL?
Okay. You want to go there? You'd be correct. Which kicker?
Morrison? That used to kick for the Saints?
You're close.
What was his name?
Morton.
Yeah, Morton.
Anderson.
Yeah. Morton Anderson.
Yes. Yeah. Had the single bar.
Yeah.
You know what you sounded like? You sound like a dude that would be hammered and walk up to him in a bar.
Hey, Morrison.
I'm Morton Sonnison. I love you, man. Give me your autograph.
Morton Anderson.
Morton Anderson.
Is that right?
Yeah, Morton Anderson. 1982, not hard to believe, to 2007.
Yep.
So Morton Anderson was in the league when I graduated high school. And by the time he left the league, I had kids. Grown kids. That's a lot of games, 382 to be exact.
Do you remember the last team he played for?
I don't know.
He went to the Super Bowl with the Falcons, didn't he?
Falcons. You're right. Yeah, you're right. He was automatic too, man. Now, second on that list,
is another kicker. Another kicker?
Vinatieri.
Yep.
365 games. He couldn't hold out for 25 more.
Out of the top 10, half of them have got to be kickers.
I would think, yeah. George Blanda may be up there in that record. I didn't go too deep because I wanted to get to a couple. Who has participated in the most PGA Tour events? Never get it. Never get it. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Really?
Yeah. And he's not exactly a success story, but he's played in a bunch of tournaments, which means, you know, he was pretty good. This would be Mark Brooks. He played in 803 tournaments.
Let's go into Rigby's territory. NASCAR. Who you think is...
Well, don't go unless you look, because I ain't got that one.
I figure Rigby knew this.
Tired of doing all the work around here.
You'd have to go back.
Yeah, it had to be somebody.
It's probably somebody you wouldn't.
From that started in the 40s and raced till the 70s.
Yeah.
One of those cats. All right, somebody get that for us if you don't mind. Mark Brooks played in 803. He won seven including the 1996 PGA Championship. So he has one major in 803 tries. That's more than we have. Now, these are impressive streaks, but they pale in comparison to jockeys.
Oh, I've heard the stats every week. How many?
It's amazing.
It's unreal.
The all-time horse racing king in terms of races run, Jorge Ricardo, 13,069 races.
How do you not have back problems?
It's had to be. How do you not have? Can you walk? Secondly, you may race 7-8 times in a day. I guess I don't know, but you would think, right? All right, Brian, you ready?
NASCAR.
Fun fact:
Richard Petty. Most NASCAR Cup Series starts with 1,184, spanning his career from 1958 to 1992.
And what's impressive is they only do that once a week, right? As I understand it.
Yeah.
It's only once a week. It ain't like baseball players and even basketball players. Obviously, they race horses every day.
Next closest is Ricky Rudd with 906 and Terry Labonte at 890.
And one of the things that occurred to me is a lot of these tricks will never be touched.
No.
Pete Rose probably never be touched because who's going to play that long? By the time you put in 10 years, what? You're rich.
Well, like in NASCAR, I mean, in some sport, it's just the patience runs out. You have a couple of bad years, and, hey, I got this young kid. Get out of the car.
Yeah, because you don't sort of in all of these sports, I guess.
That's a lot of your NASCAR movies are kind of about, too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff today. All right, we will contact you should you win the tickets. We're about to randomly select those now. And we do want to thank our good buddies Brian Rigby and Coach Ty for being with us today. It was great time had by all. We'll see you out at Buffalo Wild Wings shortly, guys. Have a good one.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.